good morning.
And welcome. Our number, if you don't know it, of course, is 580-5436-580-KIDO. If you prefer email, that's just fine. It's dave@petsofinancial.net. So we with Kevin out last week, we've got the whole 2 hours today. So no rerun of that. So give us a call. Send us a message. Love to hear from you. It is interesting to me that we continue with the constant doom and gloom. And it comes in one form or another. And I totally get the world is upside down. I totally get that neither party, the majority of people, I mean, a huge majority of the people do not want the two people in their party running for president. It throws a whole twist on things. I totally get that everything that this White House has done is messed up, from inflation to overseas to all the wars and all these problems. I get it. The border. It's messed up. We have the worst politicians we could even imagine. Perhaps, probably the worst president of our lifetime. This is an awful situation. But corporate America continues to knock the cover off the ball. They're just killing it. They're killing it. The cash flows are amazing. The outlook isn't that bad in such a difficult environment. In fact, with many companies, it's just plain getting better. Their margins are improving. Companies are simply doing very well. And that's investing. It can be so hard to make that disconnect with how we feel and what's happening when you own a piece of those corporations. How can they be doing that well? How can they possibly be doing that well in a world that's upside down? And the answer, of course, is that technology is making us all more productive, personally, professionally. And corporations are simply more productive than they've ever been before. Regardless, because all they're focused on is not who's in the White House. They're not focused on what kind of policies are going to make the country more woke. Sure, some of that stuff slows everything down. It does. It gets us focused on things that aren't important. But back to it. Is it affecting the number of iPhone sales quarterly that we have no border? That we have complete chaos with that part of our system? No. Is it a long-term problem for everybody? Of course, but it's not today. And so our feelings interrupt our idea of what we ought to be doing with our money. And one recent example I would like to give of that is that collectively, it's not that things have materially changed in the last 2 weeks or month, but we're hearing more and more reporting about how many trillions of dollars are sitting there on the sidelines waiting for their opportunity to come into the market. That is sitting in record amounts of money markets. But you see, I think too much is made of that because there's an amount of cash, and we don't know what that number is. It obviously grows as the population grows, as people become more affluent. And they are, regardless of how you feel, there's more money. So there's more cash representing that portion of it. But there's a lot being made. Well, maybe that's the fuel that's going to send us up to, you know, even more all-time highs. And part of that is true. But then there's the talk about, but that's if the Federal Reserve is going to lower interest rates, meaning money markets are going to get paid less. Oh, so we're back to the Federal Reserve controls all things, including the stock market. Even though, as the various interest rates, we're sitting at all-time highs, people can't stop talking about it because it's easy. Here's the explanation. The Federal Reserve said this: worries about inflation mean that the Fed might wait a while. All of those things make it super easy to explain why the market did almost nothing today. Instead of just the market did almost nothing today. We somehow can't do that. We can't go on to CNBC and not babble about our outlook. We see three rate cuts. We see two. Now we see one. Oh, you must be right because we got one at the very end. Even though you started with six and went to four and then went to three, two, one, you were right by the end of the year. Aren't you just something else? I mean, Wall Street genius, you are. And that's the game we play. They change their outlook all the time to match what the Fed didn't do that they predicted they would. They now change. It's not helpful, but it's a game we play. And what that game really is a game of look at this, it's not really important, but while you're looking at that, look at me. See me? I'm over here. I am super strategist for Goldman Sachs, dude, make a ton of money, and I just want to keep in front of the TV. Keep your eyes on me. And I'll keep telling you as the world changes what we predict, and it won't matter because we were so wrong when we predicted the opposite of that. That's just this game we play. But it creates this tension that we all ought to be operating under some kind of Fed watch. Not true. How about quarterly earnings watch? How's the company doing? Is the Fed's policy have anything to do with the run-up in NVIDIA? I don't think so. And yet we've all heard that those are the only, the Magnificent Seven, or is it now the Magnificent Three? Is it the one? I don't know. We have to keep changing to explain what is going on in the market and why I'm wrong about the future. And all of that is to say this: what we have now with 6 trillion plus in money markets is a lot of ammunition on the sidelines that could buy anything. But that anything means it can buy a car. It can sit in cash because it's actually getting paid something now. You see, we at Petzl Financial have record amounts of cash too. Why? Because the cash has a payment on it now. You get paid something. And the Fed deciding to drop rates by a quarter of a point is not going to affect that thought process. What would affect the thought process is a correction in the market that says, wow, this is what we've been looking for to increase positions in dividend-paying stocks, for example. It's not a cash position that's extraordinary, like, wow, we're holding 20% of cash in the portfolio. No, it's just a record amount because that area is getting paid something. Let's suppose that number was, like a half a percent, 1%, 1%, because it's paying nothing until 2022. Okay. But that doesn't mean all the money's in growth, high growth. It's trying to find alternatives in a zero interest rate world. But that position might be two has moved to five or six, still says that's a record number. That's a record amount. That's a record amount of cash everywhere because cash gets paid something. So the idea that that's going to be the big driver behind the next move up in the market seems like we're just looking at the ground conditions and going, ah, well, I remember back in the day hearing that when there's a large cash position on the sidelines, that was the ultimate. That was a home run. because everybody was wrong-sided, because the average investor is. They get too giddy when markets are good, and they get too depressed when markets are bad, and they throw money at it. They throw money at NVIDIA, 2X, ETFs. I'll talk about that later. And at the same time, in the doom and gloom, because the world is upside down, record amounts of cash are built up. Record amounts of gold are being stored by central banks. Oh, well, central bankers are really smart people, so should we be following that? No, traditionally they're wrong, just like everybody else is. And the reason why they're doing it makes an awful lot of sense. If you are in Argentina and wondering if the peso for the umpteenth time is going to go under, why would you own pesos? If you're in communist China and everything's totally made up in your country, the Chinese government just controls everything. There's no market and can just collapse at any moment. And you're not allowed to hold U.S. dollars. What do you hold? What do you hold? And it's true all around the world. If you're in Iran, what would you hold? You'd hold some dollars quietly, even as you hate them, even as you want them to die, even if you're trying to blow them up, ruin their economy, you're going to hold some dollars and gold. You're going to be holding rubles that go down and down and down. You're certainly not going to hold any Nigerian paper. I know it probably pays 1,000% per month interest as it declines 2,000% per month in value. It is true. We have all of these different strange currencies in the world, and they are some falling by crazy amounts, both monthly and annually. It's a crazy, crazy thing. And so obviously, please avoid all that. I wouldn't think I'd have to say a thing about that, but for a while we heard about buying, and people did. I believe it was Iraq. It wasn't Iranian. It was Iraq paper, because after the Gulf War, we were going to, suddenly see a big value in an Iraq dollar. That kind of stuff across the internet goes on all the time. All the time. Do this because of that. It's sad. Now, I'm going to talk a little bit about some of these today, because the doom and gloom is still there. I mean, it's, even though the market's hitting all-time highs, it keeps doing it, keeps defying all the expert advice and moving higher. But we're seeing some pretty crazy stuff out there. Banks closing means the world is coming to an end. I don't understand why we spend time listening to these things, why we would be on super right-wing, not conservative radio, no, super right-wing, whatever podcast we're on, and being pitched endlessly to buy gold, because the end is here. Endlessly. And this isn't an anti-gold show. Do whatever you want. But when you do it in doom and gloom, you just lose. I mean, this has worked for your whole life, your parents' lives, your grandparents' lives. It's worked for hundreds of years. And the big call is it won't work anymore. And that's what we don't ever stop to do. And say, well, that is a big call. Who would make that kind of call? Something has always worked, and then now it won't? What kind of crazy idea is that now it just stops working? Well, it's easy. People live in fear. We just don't want it to drive our investments. That's for sure. Anyway, we're going to talk more about that for the second hour, whenever. All right. But right now we got to take a quick break. Our number is 580-5436-580-KIDO. It is Dave at PetsoFinancial.net. We'll be right back. Good morning, and thanks for tuning in. Our number is 580-5436-580-KIDO. It's Dave at PetsoFinancial.net. All right. And so as we're talking about the market here, all-time highs we were down very slightly this week off of those all-time highs. I think Wednesday the Dow actually hit a new record. It's amazing. I mean, it's just been the most incredible, doubted bull market. They're all doubted to some level, but this just seems really down in the mouth. We are. But I got something happy to talk about, because today's the day for the christening of the USS Idaho. And that's our submarine that's being christened, ours, the United States of America, ours. But it's kind of exciting. There's a lot of dignitaries going. I think there's 150 Idaho folks maxed out the amount of people that could go and watch it live. But there is, if you want to, a watch party at Sockeye Brewing tonight at 6 p.m. So they'll be replaying what is really going on right now, I believe. I believe it's starting right now back east. So the christening is begun. I don't know the whole length of the festivities, but wanted to mention that. And Mike, thank you for forwarding that and reminding me of when that was going to be. So Sockeye Brewing tonight at 6 p.m. is setting up a replay of the and a special beer called something about Spud. I can't remember the name of it now, but the crew on board was the ones that named it for Sockeye Brewing. So this limited edition beer has been designed for this event. So have at it. I just think it's fun. And thank you, Mike, for sending that along. All right. Now, all kinds of things going wrong. CPI, PPI, and don't worry, the Inflation Reduction Act, that'll take care of it. JoJo's got it. And we know that's not true, and it's been an unprecedented time, and I don't say that lightly because it's just an overused word. It is unprecedented what we did, including Donald Trump. Shut down the economy, spent ridiculous amounts of money, trillions of dollars, and they just basically sent it to people. Now, it should have stopped a long time ago. And yes, the vast majority of all of the inflationary pressure, if not 100% of it, rests with JoJo. And JoJo just wants to remake the United States into a completely dependent socialist nation. That's pretty clear with policy. We don't say that, but that's, you know, we're helping different groups, but we're helping them at levels and in ways that we've never thought about before. Like, you don't have to bother paying back your loan. Why would you do that? Why would you do that? Things like that have never been done before. It makes no sense in our country. It's not how we operate. But that all that flow of money from nobody pays student loan payments, that money's freed up to go into the economy, we're told, along with the trillions of dollars of helicopter money that came out. Yes, we have supply chain issues, all those other things that are took time. But too much money chasing too few goods, regardless, is inflation. Since it's unprecedented, we really don't know the outcome. Can they pull this back? Federal Reserve trying to do that. The money supply has been shrinking, not growing as it has all the time since the Depression. And this is not an allusion to the Depression, as I say every time. It's not. It's not the state of the world. It's just, do we know what's going to happen? I think the Federal Reserve is going to do this. I think they're going to do that. Federal Reserve doesn't have a clue. They've been dead wrong. Dead wrong. On this whole interest rate increase, they expected to raise rates 0.75 point, 3 1/4 point increases is what they told us in early 22. They raised the equivalent of 0.75 point increases. We were going to cut in March. We're not going to cut in March. We were going to start cutting rates by the end of last year. according to Wall Street. We haven't cut anything. Rates continue to go up in 2023. People don't know. And the guessing game all just changes. So you're like, yep, see, I told you so, even though you've been wrong six times before. That's the way it works. I'm finally right. So I get to do a victory lap, keep my job at Goldman Sachs, and everybody thinks I'm really super smart. It's frustrating from the outside, but that's the game that has to happen all the time. All the time. So now we've got rates are the talk of the town again as we head into more Fed meetings, more Fed talk. And the inflation numbers ran hot, very hot this week. I was surprised how well the market did. Again, saying there's something else going on besides the Fed. Interest rates rose this week. Why? Because it looks like higher interest rates for longer? Maybe. Things change. But here's the reality. This inflation is sticky. We haven't done this before, and there's still too much money out there. So playing the game of, I learned about this in the 1950s, 60s, 70s, 80s, and this is what happens when you do pull this lever over here. It isn't working. It never does, because things are always different. We think things are going to work in a linear way. They aren't. There's technology. There's different people in the world. Everything changes. With all that different technology, why do I think that labor has the same say as they always did when robots can do their work, when computers can do the work of two people? One doing it is more productive, now takes the place of two people. We take all of this for granted, that we're just like somehow we have this amazing machine that tells us how to get to wherever it is we want to go, knows where the nearest Costco store is, and can answer any question you ask it. It's ridiculous. And it's just part of our everyday life and how it makes us so much more productive. It's an amazing thing. We take it for granted. But all of these things are to say everything is different. And predicting what's going to happen or how the market's going to react to the Fed's decision, to this, is almost always wrong. And the answer is because we're pricing in what the general belief is all of the time. But let's take it a step further. CPI and PPI numbers are sticky high. And again, I'm not here to say that this is some kind of a conspiracy theory. But why do we get downward or upward revisions in everything? Downward revisions all the time. All the time. I think 5 months in a row, maybe six out of the last 7 months. It's a ridiculous number of times that the jobs numbers are revised down. They're revised down. For the prior 2 months. So the jobs numbers were actually terrible last week. Yeah, a week from Friday. They were terrible. I mean, they're so far below expectations. Well, interest rates should go down, but they didn't. Well, then the market ought to go down because the economy is going down. It didn't. Well, when they announce CPI numbers, they're still sticky because there's so much cash floating around out there. And some of the things that we've been talking about, like how much does it cost to have your taxes prepared now? Is that basically not gone up much? It's gone up a ton. Lawyers charge a ton more. All service industries are horrendous. We're going to all have to learn how to unplug our toilets again. Because the plumbers are so expensive, right? I mean, it's just the way it is. I'm not saying it's unfair. I'm just saying that's the way it is. Service industries, super expensive. It's tough. And that's showing up in the numbers now. And producer prices, the ones that are about to be passed on to you as a consumer, were much higher than expected too. I don't like month-to-month data. I hardly ever talk about it. We talk about it as a trend, and that's the point. The last 3 months, inflation is accelerating again. It's a problem. So what will the Fed do? How about this? Who cares? It's a quarter of a point. Who cares? We'll talk about that on the other side of this break. We got to take a break for Fox News. 580-KIDO. Hello, welcome. Thank you for joining us. Our number is 580-5436-580-KIDO. If you prefer email, it's dave@petsofinancial.net. We'll come back to that, why I think we should be ignoring the Federal Reserve. We'll come back to that after we take a call. Let's go to the phones, and it's Steve. Steve, thank you for calling. Go ahead, please.
Good morning, Dave. Thank you so much for what you do. I may have an explanation for you about your original comment about doom and gloom that we feel throughout the United States. And yeah. I'm tying it to a KIDO national host that claims repeatedly 63% of the people in the USA are living paycheck to paycheck. And so my theory is they're probably not much invested in the market, even if their company has a 401k or something of that nature. Because if you're living paycheck to paycheck, you're basically trying to buy groceries and gasoline and those sorts of things. And the job growth that you were just talking about, I'm thinking some of that could be those 63% of the people getting second jobs or third jobs to try to deal with the inflation that's hitting us. And I think you've explained very well how the president says inflation's coming down and wants to celebrate that, but that's just the rate coming down. That's not the prices. The prices are still staying high and getting higher. So, you know, you got groceries and gasoline. It's really hard to stay above water for a lot of these people. I think those, you know, 37% of us are invested on the market. I think those 63% probably aren't. And so they feel doom and gloom because of what they see. So anyway, that's my theory.
Yeah, you know, there, and actually in some of the jobs numbers, so let's start there. Some of the jobs numbers do indicate that have some, quotes, positive aspects to it. I don't know how positive it is, but the number of hours, it just says overall in the economy, that the number of hours worked has been slightly going up. And so that's back to your point, that there often are, there's a great number of people that are out there getting jobs, and second jobs are not well covered. The other part of that that isn't well covered at all is, of course, the, quotes, undocumented. I don't know why I have to feel like I should say that. I guess I've been taught correctly that illegals are not actually illegal. But that is not covered well in how many of them are working and how many aren't. So we do have some mixed numbers that are clearly messing with us in these numbers. But I do want to kind of say this on a couple things. Most people will say, my circumstances are okay, but yeah, we're living paycheck to paycheck. That means we're generally not very happy. But maybe this is just an old guy saying this, okay? But when I worked paycheck to paycheck, it was paycheck to paycheck. It was never with the idea that what I really have to do is work. I'm working paycheck to paycheck to make sure that I can still do all the social activities I could do. I can still go to the bar with my buddies. Those are extras in my mind. And when we really look at the numbers, 63% of the people may say that, but that's really not true. And I'm going to also correct you slightly. There are a little over 50% of the people that own something with a 401k or something else in the market. It may not be at the levels that it should be, that we hope it would be, and so on and so forth, or that would enable them to take care of themselves in retirement. But we're slowly raising the awareness. I do think people understand that markets work generally and that they have to participate in their 401k. They may not know a lot about markets, but they are getting the fact that they have to do some. So some of it is, I think, is better education. I don't disagree with you that there are some clearly, and you've probably heard me talk about it many times, that there are a lot of people out there with a side hustle to make ends meet. There really are. It's because those grocery bills are meaningful in families. They're meaningfully higher and they're not, they really are living paycheck to paycheck. But 63%, that's a bit high, at least according to what our economic numbers are.
Okay, well, I appreciate that, and I believe what you're saying. I was just trying to explain why there's some doom and gloom out there, and I think a lot of it is because people don't, they don't participate enough in the market to where that's going to make a difference to them. They're just looking at, you know, they're not worried about the 10 years out. They're worried about today.
Exactly, and there is some of that. There's no doubt. Credit card balances are at record highs, Steve. I mean, this is real. You're quoting real stuff. There's some real pain out there with people. There is, and there always will be with some, and I don't try to diminish that. Inflation is real and has caused some families to tip over. Also, in my opinion, is that all of this free money that came, and so we can go spend money on things we never should have, creates new habits of spending. And I think that some of that has to be, we have to create new habits, right? We can't afford that. You know, when the government stops sending us a free couple thousand here and a couple thousand there, we suddenly, and then that goes away, we got to learn to live with that again. It's a process all the way through, but you're quite right. The economy is not as strong as JoJo and company wants to say it is. It truly isn't, or we wouldn't see record credit card balances, record unpaid credit card balances, meaning they're behind in their bills, and also spiking subprime car loans. I don't worry about it overall in the economy, but it's an indication that that sector of the of our society isn't doing well, to your point.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate your show.
Thank you. Appreciate you. And thank you for your call. All right. Our number is 580-5436-580-KIDO. I guess we should probably take our final break and see if anybody else wants to join our program. Happy to have you. It's also Dave at PetsoFinancial.net. We'll be right back. Hello, welcome, and thank you for joining us. That's good timing by Sean Hannity chiming in the 60% number. Again, it's paycheck to paycheck is a little bit different definition these days. I understand that than when I was getting started. But it's still, there's no question that there is some segment of society that's really struggling with how to fill the cupboard with groceries. The inflation is big time in food cost. There's no question about it. All right. Our number is 580-KIDO. Final segment this hour, we'll keep talking about this whole inflation thing, but I want to kind of put a little bit of a bow on it right now, or at least maybe tee it up for the next hour. What will the Fed do is always our question. And it is. It's like the constant question. And it has been for years. And I actually think it's starting to wear thin. I didn't think it would ever wear out. It just keeps going and going and going. Because everybody's explanation for everything, well, the corporate profits for Apple are pretty good this quarter, but what will the Fed do? I mean, it just goes on and on, as if NVIDIA surge was all due to some Fed governor meeting last month or the month before and the month before that and the year before that. It's not. And this is I don't want to act like it's like this giant frustration. I'm just saying we have to come and have some clarity in our minds as to why this babble isn't what the market is doing. At some point in time, we've got to say, hey, we've been sitting here on Fed watch now for months, and the Fed hasn't done anything, and they shouldn't be. They should be doing exactly what they're doing, sitting on their hands, being data dependent, and that's it. And then we go through and we parse the little words that are said in the Fed statement. We didn't do anything. We're being data dependent, blah, blah, blah. We think it's more likely we're going to do this, or we're going to do that. And then we hang our hat on it. And what I find it interesting is that maybe it's wearing off because of this. The Fed has been wrong by an unbelievable magnitude. Okay? I'm not just here to tell you stuff that we haven't talked about before, but reminding that the Fed's ability to see where the economy is going, interest rates are going, is quite limited, like ours is. Even though they control interest rates, the magnitude of their judgment has been so far off, it's unbelievable. And I don't want to go through the whole litany, but remember, these are the same clowns that said inflation was transitory. And then when they figured out it wasn't, then they said, oops, but they kept doing the wrong thing because it was already set on the calendar, apparently, whatever, that they weren't data dependent, that they were going to go ahead and continue with QE and put more money into the system that they would later have to drain out, even though we now have inflation. It's like it just makes your head explode. It's the complete opposite of what they would do, even though they were admitting they were wrong. So when we think about this, we have to recognize maybe people are like going, I don't know. The Fed doesn't know, because the Fed doesn't know. They can't know the future. But they're also getting it super wrong. And maybe we shouldn't be sitting around waiting for the Fed to decide or tell us for sure that we're going to drop interest rates and we're going to do it on this date. Because once again, they're wrong. Because they're data dependent and we have to wait and see. And perhaps inflation is stickier, seems to be, than everybody planned on. And our whole new experiment here of injecting trillions of dollars and then we don't worry, we got it, we'll go ahead and pull it out. Maybe it isn't quite as an exact a science as that. And it's totally okay to shut down the economy, try brand new experiments with money, just print it. Because ask Elizabeth Warren and others, hey, you can just print money and give it away. It's called modern monetary theory. Oh, so we make it be what you want it to be. Uh-huh, yeah, this is how it works. You know, so she's just kind of sort of gone away. And that these opinions have just disappeared. But that was where we were. And pumping money into the system and pulling it out isn't this easy, super easy thing to do. So recognize that. I think it's important we do. The Fed isn't dictating day to day what the market's going to do. On a day, from time to time, if there is something, we may see movement in the market, which is immediately repelled the next day or even within the next 5 minutes. If it's expected, the Federal Reserve will do X, and they do X, why would we think it would be some massive move in the market? That's for commentators to go, oh, yeah, the Fed, blah, blah, blah. That is what happens. I get it. But we need to get the idea that maybe the Fed is going into the background now. This isn't going to be what Wall Street is fixated on. Maybe it hasn't been. Because typically when you start hearing people talk about that maybe the Fed isn't the end-all be-all, isn't the defining thing in day-to-day movements of the market, that maybe it has long since left the building. It's not like the press, including the Wall Street Journal, the most amazing paper on the planet, they are not cutting edge. They're trailing edge, way trailing. All right, you hear the music. We're out for Fox News, and hour number two is upcoming. Stick around. We hope you'll join us. We'll be right back.
Hello, welcome. Thanks for joining us. And, of course, as we always say, these are our opinions and our opinions only. We're not here to tell you to buy or sell. That's ridiculous. Please don't do that.
It's not entertainment. It's just noise, and it leads people to think they ought to be doing things in their portfolios. It's the opposite of investing. It's aggressively turning yourself into a raw speculator. Now, I know you don't think that, but it is. Anything you're doing to make yourself more likely to be trading sets it up for the whole gambling bug that people have. No, it doesn't mean everybody gambles. It doesn't mean that everybody has it to some kind of addictive level, but we all like the action. Why do we think that people like Warren Buffett, Charlie Munger, who recently passed, made so much money by hyperventilating about what the Fed was going to do every day, digging deeper into all of the mini data about jobs numbers, what the Fed might do at the next meeting? Oh my gosh, CPI ran a little hot. What did the market do today? What's the market going to do? Or do you think it's because they sat on their hands and owned companies like Coca-Cola for decades? They own great companies, and they're not all right. In fact, most of them are mediocre at best. That's not my opinion. That's what Warren Buffett says about his picks. This is a game of having big, big gains from time to time. Not big market gains, big company gains. No, the market going up is a function of a few companies driving the index higher. And then people sit around and argue about how narrow the advance is. Gosh, if you didn't own the Nifty 50 back in the 70s, or you didn't own oil companies in the 80s, you didn't own these, it was all so narrow, not everybody was doing very well. It's like we do this all the time. It's always the sun is shining somewhere pretty narrow where it's really shining. Sometimes it gets into a bubble like the .com, and then we borrow that bubble discussion every time, forever and ever, amen. Why? Because that's what people are scared of. Oh, okay, because they're not going to look at a website designed by a Pollyanna like me. Because it doesn't need to be fear selling at all. Fear selling comes across in multiple ways. Gold, equity index annuities. Buy my newsletter, or at least read it online because it's free, and then we'll scroll the ads. This billionaire over here says, this famous investor, of course you've never heard of him, Billy Bob is saying the market's going to crash. Ooh, Billy Bob says, click here and Billy Bob will give you the next NVIDIA. Ooh, we better do that because Billy Bob is a famous investor. I think I'll do that. It's amazing. Or the gang of the rich man, poor man nonsense. It just goes on and on. Well, we think silver is going to be the big thing this time. And oh my gosh, I guess, I don't know if any of them are still alive. They can just replay the same thing over and over and over and over again. It's just always based on what's going to go wrong. Always. And something that functionally works, like the market, where the big gains come is when you own Apple. You don't trade it. You own an NVIDIA. Lucky you. You own Google through the, Microsoft is doing some new stuff. Oh my gosh, the AI that Microsoft is going to destroy. Oh my gosh, Google's got new competition over here, over there, over here. Oh, they overpaid so much for YouTube. Really? Wow, that's fascinating. Way overpaid for YouTube. Okay, glad to hear that. This goes on and on. And if you hold, you get what are called 10, 20, 30, 40 beggars. And that's more than enough to make up for the bad ideas. And that's how fortunes are made. And it's not because you're outperforming the market. The market's fine. Go buy the market. But when we get into these discussions about the market, like we are now and have been, about how narrow everything is, we're narrow in the winners. Okay, so when energy was the thing in the 80s, and Exxon, Chevron, and all the others were just minting money, and their stock prices were surging higher, that was a bubble. Just like the computer age, the internet age, all those things are bubbles because it's narrow in who's hitting home runs. It's always narrow. And there are times when it gets more narrow than others. I totally agree. I totally don't like that when there's only five stocks that drive the whole index higher. But there's always five stocks that are doing so much better that they're an important part of whatever rally we're having. And the market can be up 20% this year. Doesn't mean that every stock in your portfolio is even up 1%. There'll be some that are down. And there'll be some that are up 40 or 50%. It's the way markets work. We think of them as a monolithic thing, but they're not. They're individuals. And some are doing well, and some are not doing so well. And of course, day to day, there might be an interest rate move that affects really interest rate sensitive stocks for about a second. That's nothing to trade on. It's nothing to contemplate and predict what interest rates are going to do. Just let it be. Because if you made all these predictions for all of these years, you not only are going to drive yourself crazy, but you're wrong about almost everything that happens. It's called being human. We don't know what the future is, but we really struggle to try to want to know what it is. Of course, it's human nature. But when it comes to our investing, you don't have to figure out a thing. And yet the world is full of buy, 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 sell, sell, sell. The world is coming to an end this time. I know I've predicted this 33 times before because I'm 35 years old, and I realize that I've been wrong every single time, but this time it's for sure. And let me give you all the data why. And there's a human condition, apparently, that the more conservative we are, the more sure we're going that the world is ending. I don't get it. But talk radio and super right-wing radio and internet, we spend so much time on some of these doom and gloom things, no wonder it keeps coming at us. Yeah, I talked about, touched on this before, but I think it's worth doing it again because you're going to hear more about this. The regional banks are closing branches. Your local branch may be the next to go. Okay. Now, let's ask our question, why would that be that the local branch is closing? Because I don't go there anymore. My banking is done online. Almost all my bills are auto-deducted every month. I don't even know how much a stamp costs because I don't put it on my bills all the time. Of course, we know how much it costs. Got to buy a lot of postage at the office, 69 cents or something like that, a stamp now. But you get the point. Why would I make it inconvenient for myself to pay bills? Why would I want to drive to the bank and sit in line to cash a check? Once in a while, I go to a branch. But do I really think we need to staff it, pay rent on every street corner? Why is that an economic collapse about to happen? Well, whatever we can take, a thimble of something, and turn it into, I better go back and check that webpage tomorrow because I got to figure out what's going on. Do I think digital currency is going to kill us? Oh, boy, yeah. Nancy Pelosi wants to take away your 401k. Digital currency coming to haunt you, coming to kill you any day now. It's going to happen. Constant. Well, that wore out, so now we have to roll on to what? I think it's going to be the banking crisis because we can't not have a world-ending event that we're focused on. There's no reason to go to the website. There's no reason to own gold. It pays nothing. There is no interest. It has absolutely no purpose in the world. None. It sits there. It looks good on jewelry. Yay. Yay, team. But it does nothing economically. Sold every day. Buy that equity index annuity because you don't want to be in the stock market casino. Whatever words we can toss on it to make it sound like it's just, wow, so scary. Do you realize you could put a dollar in and it could go down 20%? Uh-huh. About once every 3 years, it does that. On its way to all-time highs again. Yeah, but it could happen tomorrow. Well, do I need the money tomorrow? Or would I just like to produce ever-increasing dividends all the days of my life that grow faster than the rate of inflation and have historically for over 100 years? Yeah, well, that's simplistic because it's all going to end. And so we get into these equity index annuities, which I keep up once in a while. Let's see if I wrote it down here somewhere. Oh, yeah, it's 8%. This is the beauty of it, because when you have crummy products, like the world's worst products that trap people in, pay super high commissions, eventually other solutions come along. If people are still willing to buy these crazy, horrible things, then other solutions come. Okay, again, this is not 100% all annuities. It's almost all annuities, okay, because they're marketed wrong and they're high commission. By the way, some of them are not commissioned anymore. Things are changing along those lines, but they're not quite there yet. So there's lots and lots and lots of annuity pimps out there still. But here's that. I need 100% coverage. Okay. You want 100% guaranteed. Market goes down 100%, you get your money back. Like, I don't even know what the world would look like. There's no point. I'd be handed back money that doesn't even have value anymore. Because if the market goes to zero, that's it. But so let's just say beyond a certain point, call it down 30%. It doesn't really cost a lot to call it 100% guaranteed. Okay, so we got it. It's 100% guaranteed. You get 8% of the upside in the market. That's where we're at today. In an exchange-traded fund that you can buy and sell every day. So when you decide that the world isn't ending and you don't want 100% coverage, maybe 20% is good enough, then your cap goes up. Or you want no coverage at all. You're just willing to be in the game. In the game that always works. But that's where we're at now. New products, exchange-traded funds, which you could buy and sell for free, believe it or not, right? For free. Now out today, 8% cap, 100% of your downside's covered. You change your mind tomorrow, you sell, and you're out. Isn't that beautiful? Makes it easy. And by the way, you're not trapped in it for 10 years. You're trapped in it for 0 minutes. That's amazing. And so when we talk about all this doom and gloom, this is why. Because there is this huge volume out there. And I'm not sure why people continually drift towards the doom and gloom, but they do. They absolutely do. It's not good, but they do. We drift and drift and drift towards it because we are scared of everything, because we're humans. Scared of everything. So even though the evidence is this always works, and yes, we have corrections, yes, we don't like it, what's going on, and then we go to all-time highs again. This happens over and over and over again, and it will all the days of your life. And it's not gameable. The Market Timing Hall of Fame is empty. I don't have a problem as when markets hit all-time highs. If people need money in the next couple of years to take it out, especially now, you get paid 5% on money markets. Yay! We get something. Something. But if you want to just build wealth, you have to be like the long-term great investors, where you compound great wealth in a few companies or the overall market that's represented by too few companies. Or look at this chart over here about how much debt there is. Look at all this margin debt over here. Here's another chart. Here's my case for why it's all going to end. And then the case just keeps shifting. New charts, new reasons. Banks closing. Why? Because it's economically stupid to have an empty bank sit there. I think it needs to probably be a new restaurant or something. I mean, come on. Sometimes we just have to stop and look and go, wait a minute, this doesn't make any sense. Are the banks closing? No, of course they're not closing. We don't want to get caught in that world all the time. Stop listening. It isn't helpful. Oh, I'm just getting information. No, you're not. You're getting wrong way data spewed at you in some kind of quotes, entertaining way. And it hurts our psyche for doing the very things we need to do. Compound money, long term, sometimes we get temporary corrections. How many times do you think in the last, 15 years or 20 years, whatever it is, that I've owned Google? Do you think it's gone down more than 10%? I really don't know, but don't you think that's happened a lot? How about 20%? Now we're talking serious dough here. What do you mean? I just lost. No, I think my split adjusted cost, is undoubtedly less than the $10 a share. More like five. This is a 25-30 bagger. That's not to brag, that's just saying, how many times could we have listened or panicked or thought about that I lost money? I didn't lose money. I'm up 25-fold. If you take some of that away, is it a loss? Of course it's not. But that's the way our brain works. I have $1 million from 200,000 invested. It's up 5-fold from the money I put in my 401k over the years. 5-fold. What do people say? When it has a normal correction, just a little correction, down 10%, they have 900,000. Do they say, I just made 700,000 from the original 200? No, they say I lost $100,000. This is how our brain works, and it infects us in terrible ways. It really does, and it's a really hard thing to get around. We have got to wrap our minds around the fact that we are fearful human beings, irrationally fearful. There are not saber-toothed tigers anymore. There aren't flying dinosaurs that can eat you. There aren't. The T-Rexes are long gone. It's interesting how our physiology fights our thought process. And yes, trading is fun because it's a short term. I was right. I thought the market would go up today, so I bought some options. Okay. But when we measure it out, it is just like the casino. In the long run, you lose. This is the game where you own. You are the owner of the casino. Odds are always in your favor. But you don't win every bet, but you do always win in the long run. That's what this is. You are the casino when you invest long term. We're going to take a break. We'll be right back.
Hello, welcome, and thanks for joining us. 580-5436, 580-KIDO. It's Dave at PetsoFinancial.net.
Okay, so I you know, in through all of this too, the Wall Street Journal covered this yesterday, just yesterday, that a lot of information coming out. Again, this is part of the problem of all these websites that I'm talking about. It's not one I've seen, but there are multiple ads being pitched by fake billionaires. Now, we've all seen it, you know, like the famous investor, you know, said, give you these three stocks, just click here. We've all seen that nonsense. Okay, I understand. But this is actually, with AI, is becoming a bigger problem because the super fakes are getting quite good. Now, it's not just AI. I mean, it's the good photography. It's grabbing a picture you know, one of the hedge fund managers, Bill Aiken or something like that, that people have heard of. Please help me out and do this over here. Click here. And people are doing it, and they're being defrauded as well. So they go there, and it's only $40,000 to do this or to buy that, do some penny stock trading. That's what we do. Well, of course they don't do that. And you're not going to find that on a website. It's the same thing that people have done for years by, say, misquoting Warren Buffett. You know, for example, for years, we heard this. Warren Buffett says the most important thing is to not lose any money, is to not have a loss. And so that's why we do equity indexed annuities, because you never have a loss. Warren Buffett doesn't say such a thing at all. He says actually quite the opposite. Most of my picks are mediocre at best. We've only had about 10 investment decisions over a 70-year period that have made all of our money. That doesn't say the most important thing is never lose. We all lose a lot because we don't know the future. You do your best, you do your homework, you decide that this is a great time to enter this stock, and you don't recognize that the future has some bad stuff in store for it. Happens all the time, happens most of the time. But we hear that. So we get fake quotes. Now we direct people to fake, with fake pictures, letters, things like that, from famous people that are not true. And we direct them to make investments that basically are stealing their money, pushing penny stocks higher so people can do a pump and dump scheme is classic. This goes back to literally 40, 50 years ago. Classic. And we all know you're not supposed to buy penny stocks. It's silly. Don't do that. I mean, they're horrible. And everybody loses. But people think they're going to get rich and win that lottery ticket. So it is a really tough thing to get people to stop doing. But at any rate, I just wanted to mention that. So be careful. You see a picture or a letter or whatever. It's just these things aren't real. They're not. Even the Wall Street Journal is covering them because it's become. And FINRA has warnings out about it. The SEC is concerned about it. It's rampant. So be careful out there. All right, we got to take a break here for Fox News. And on the other side, we'd love to hear from you at 580-KIDO. We'll be right back. Hello, welcome, and thank you for joining us. 580-5436, 580-KIDO. That is our number. Love to hear from you. And right now, let's go ahead and go to the phones. Let's go to Gary. Gary, thanks for calling. Go ahead, please.
Good morning, Dave.
Good morning.
We are in the process of updating a lot of, what do we call it? everything from bank accounts to brokerage accounts, end-of-life directives, you know, the whole work.
Sure. Estate planning. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. In a phrase, yes. Thank you. One thing that we have heard of, and I have a hunch that you and you're part of the puzzle here, is there's this tragic situation where you have two spouses, one gets sick, especially if it's a long-term illness, and essentially all the couple's savings ends up going to the first spouse, and then that spouse dies, leaving the remaining spouse essentially impoverished. You have probably seen that in your business. And what do people do to help prevent that type of problem?
So are you talking about if there's long-term care issues? Is that what you mean?
That could be it. Or atrocious medical expenses. Who knows?
Right. But anyway, end-of-life medical care of some kind, which is, yes. Well, yes, I have. And of course, it is a very real problem. This is going to sound more complicated than it should, but I have to really kind of digress a little bit to then move forward. It is something interestingly that's come up like this week in a big way, and I have to mention that there's a number of different things out there that I would be very, very cautious in this whole Medicaid planning area. It is fraught with fraud, okay? There's an awful lot of fraud there, or let's just say very high fees, very high charges to do things that may or may not be necessary or will work. So you have to be very careful out there. So that's the end of my disclaimer. At that point, I'm going to say, look, this is a very legal area, and so you do have to be careful. You can split assets, especially if you're in good health. You have time, theoretically, before one of you would go into a nursing home. So you can split assets, pull it out, and so that you're only spending down half of the assets, meaning yours, and the spouse is able to keep the rest. Now, there are also amounts that you can keep. I believe it's around $130,000, but again, I want to be careful with this to not be giving you the precision of it, that a spouse can keep that much and not spend it before Medicaid kicks in. But be careful. Don't run too hard at these particular things. Be sure to get solid, thoughtful legal advice to make sure that you are, if this is the kind of planning you want to do. In many cases, that what we're talking about is that in-between world that you just mentioned. You have some assets, but if there's a long-term care issue, those can be diminished to leave the other spouse not much to go with, right? So that's, people that have plenty of money, it's not an issue because it's just something they can pay for. Yes, it'll come out of the inheritance, but they can pay for it. But don't run too hard to try to avoid paying any of the bills. It can really mean a lot of expenses, and if it's not done correctly, it can really come back. And literally, there are a lot of rules that throw money back into the state post people's passing because it was tried to get rid of in what the state deems as an illegal way. So hopefully that was somewhat helpful. Be careful, but get good advice. There are ways to do this if you have time.
Yeah, it's a complex machine, and you are but one of the gears in the whole mechanism. So thank you.
You're very, very welcome. It is a complex machine, and there are ways to do it, so you can certainly go into it. Thank you so much, Gary. I appreciate your call, and have a great day. Okay, our number is 580-5436, 580-KIDO. I think the best thing to do is get our final break out of the way. That's going to leave us more than 10 minutes. So if you have a question, even an email question, that's dave@petzofinancial.net. We'll go and take our final break. And when we come back, maybe we'll be talking to you. We'll be right back. Hello, welcome, and thank you for joining us. Hey, if you have any comments or questions, go to our website, and you can certainly leave one there. That's petzofinancial.com. We've also got calculators, podcasts, things there to help you with your own financial planning. So check it out, petzofinancial.com. And also send us an email. Let us know what you would like us to talk about. We'd love to hear from you. Okay. And with that, let's go to the phones. Let's go to Terry. Terry, thanks for calling. Go ahead, please.
Good morning, Professor.
Good morning, sir. How are you?
Oh, just getting ready to tackle the rose bushes.
Oh, my. That's a tackling. That's a job. Yeah.
Thank goodness I got some old gauntlets left over from the days when I had a wood stove, so I can keep the arms from getting scratched up. But
that's good. Yeah, you need those. Yeah, that's for sure.
Anyway, what you've been going on about with who you listen to and who's giving you this bit of advice and all, I still come back, me and aphorisms, I like words, and it comes down to discernment. Pay attention to who you're paying attention to.
It's a good point. It really is. That's truly a good point. You know, I hear this question, though, on the backside of that all the time. Okay, well, who do you listen to? How do we know? And that's a very fair question. Okay, so what do you read? Well, I read the Wall Street Journal because it's balanced. Okay, I just don't think that they have anything except talk about the facts. And I think that they do their best to make sure all the facts are 100% accurate before they print. They don't have to be the first one out with whatever nonsense there is. So that's true, but that's not the only thing. But the discernment you're talking about is the difficult part that you can't define.
Right.
But you know it sometimes just when you hear it. And if you have some expertise, then your BS indicator can go up real fast. I don't have to spend a ton of time, you know, listening to somebody talk on TV. And it can also be where we're thrown off on that. Like we're this person's on TV or this person's with Goldman Sachs or whatever. And you just listen to them for like 3 seconds and you're going, they don't know anything, waste of time. And on you go. And there's other people that you might just see their commentary because they're not famous at all. They're not on TV. You see their commentary written somewhere and you might happen to be getting an email from this group because you do some work with them. And you go, that's interesting. And then you read that person all the time. Why? Because they may have something insightful, thoughtful, thought-provoking. And so you're right. Discernment is. But how do you do that when you don't have any knowledge of the area? And I think you just have to take a step back and understand, where is it you're getting your information? Are you being sold something? If so, it's probably biased.
Yep. Heck, I listened to a recruiter once upon a time, and look what happened.
Yeah, there you go. There you go.
For a while there, I listened to Jim Cramer and watched his reports and whatnot. Not a dummy. And some of the things he said proved prescient. I mean, he was good at some things, but you just don't take the whole package.
Right. And the whole activity of – yeah, I have like the lightning round or whatever it is that they call it. And things like that are just, they're throwaways. They're complete throwaways. It's not, I don't care if you own the stock. His opinion is irrelevant, and it could change next week.
Right. I like the idea of taking a schnitzel, taking a little bit off the top and playing with the house's money after that. That worked out well for listening to Mr. Cramer.
There you go. There you go. So, yeah, but you also, and you do, you have to look at the track record, and it's not good. His track record actually isn't good. And so those are the kinds of things, and I'm not here to put down Jim Cramer. I'm just saying that there are ways you can do your homework. Well, that guy sounds really good. Well, why don't you find out how good? Because if you're in the money management business, you have to have a publishable record. There you go.
Well, Mr. Petzo, there's some things you say that I don't – well, I'm sorry.
Well, there you go. And I would expect that. That would be a person's opinion, that they're welcome to it. We all have different ones. If you and I or anybody fully agrees with everything I say, then we're both in trouble because everybody has their own thoughts. And that's what makes the world go round.
Yeah, we shut down our thinking meats, and we shouldn't do that. So.
Absolutely.
Anyway, I've wasted enough of your time, David. You have a wonderful weekend.
You do the same. Thank you for the call. Okay. And our number is, we got 5 minutes if we want to do that. 580-5436, 580-KIDO. But as we've been talking about, all the CPI, all the focus on the Fed, and you're going to hear more because we're getting closer and closer to another meeting. One of the things, too, to watch for as we're heading into the presidential election, and, of course, it's the most important one of our lifetime because they all are. But it's weird. It's going to get weird, and it's going to get loud. It's just weird when
both parties have candidates that their own parties don't want, the majority do not want. And although Donald Trump is leading in the polling, that can change with his latest tweet of how great he is and how awful this other human being over here is, not talking about JoJo, just like randomly, you know. I don't know why Fox News doesn't get rid of Bozo the Clown. I don't know. You know, things like that that just come out of nowhere and make more and more people go, oh. But we will see. But when we get there, what JoJo wants is now, he's finally bent to the pressure, which is, what are you going to do in the last 4 years if you get elected? Not, I hate Trump, I'm a better alternative to Trump. The man that can't find himself out of a room, I'm better than that guy. That's the whole campaign so far. He's finally come out with some stuff, okay? He's going to raise taxes on the rich. Okay, of course, because that always seems to sell people that they're not going to have taxes raised on them, which the rich pay almost all the taxes anyway. I don't know if you want to slice it up as the top 1%, the top 5%. But JoJo's reaching deep this time. He said he'd never raise taxes on people making less than $450,000, which, of course, has already happened. But it's going clear down to $200,000 for new Medicare increases. So this is the kind of area that's going to become incredibly, I believe, is going to be talked about a lot. Now, do I want a balanced budget? No, not really. I want less government spending. That's what slows down economic growth. Not the deficit itself, the size of government. Because government is an expense. It requires then for the rest of the economy to raise the money to fund them to go out and waste it. And you might like some of the government programs. And certainly if they're like, hey, we're going to send you $1 billion for your new solar farms, that's great because it comes right to you. Who doesn't like that? Who doesn't like free money? So it is something, though, as a society, when we think about all of the government paper that's pushed back and forth, it's a waste. The bureaucracy is a waste. It affects the economy. So when we're talking about raising taxes, it will slow down the economy. But it's only on the billionaires. No, it's not. It's on everybody. Medicare and Medicaid and Social Security are a disaster about to happen. About meaning not tomorrow, but pretty much the day after tomorrow, in a few years. And simply raising taxes on a few people isn't going to do it. Figuring out how to cut costs will help. We simply have a lot of people, and government wastes extraordinary amounts of money because it seems to elect politicians. That's what's going to be on the economic front, the tax front, if you will, as we head into the election. And it'll be talked about a lot. But most importantly, it's going to be such a big negative time that people are going to become scared again, whether you're on the left or you're on the right. If that Trump guy gets in again, there's no way we can handle that. The economy is going to blah, 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 fill in the gap. If JoJo runs again, we're going to turn into a socialist nation, and he's trying to. He's doing a very fine job of that, and he certainly is proposing more of that. With top tax rates running at 60% and perhaps capital gains taxes turning into ordinary income taxes, that'll change investment. We needn't worry about it. Congress is bigger than that, but don't get too, knocked around.